there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Not much happening other than what we would have expected, which is Iran is on the long game of war of attrition, of just damaging the system, since they can't win a technological war against the US, but they can certainly mess up the system, the economy, the circulation of oil. And that is what they seem to be doing. There are some people who said, well, there's no proof that it's Iran yet. Okay, fair enough. Could be another source, but it does seem... what we know for sure is that there is instability in the Strait of Hormuz, and two oil tankers have been completely burnt. And it would look like that would be in line what Iran would do, its strategy. And so, yes, there is a cost to what Israel and the U.S. have done with Trump. We have denied the sovereignty of another nation. And so it's not surprising that they would respond that way in what they can destroy. Even if they cannot fully protect against U.S. airstrikes, they don't have the defense, the Iron Dome, they can mess up the rest of the world and make it costly for those attacking them. Stephen Bennett says the only reason those tankers were there is because the U.S. has broken the City of London's insurance monopoly. Lloyd's of London closed the strait, not Iran. Trump ordered Israel not to attack Iran oil. I mean, we don't know. I mean, I'm willing to hear the hypothesis. We don't know exactly what's happening and who's striking who. I still don't have a clear picture of what is to be attributed to Iran. What is some messing on the side that Israel is doing? People are bombarding each other. That's what we know. And we know that there will be, as a result of this, if this is continued. Now, it depends what Trump wants to do with this. Will this be continued over weeks, months? Or does Trump have a strategy to eliminate the capacity of Iran to send those drones? It's very hard. It's very hard for the American army. It's easy to spot a big ballistic missile launcher, destroy it. It's easy to get Iran to pull out its big army vehicles and spot them on radars and satellites and just target them. But it's much harder to destroy the capacities in terms of suicide drones, explosive drones, that kind of stuff. These things are cheap and they are storable. So it's a big question whether the U.S. is even capable of neutralizing this strategy, this war of attrition strategy. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, this is a vibe-coded war. Yeah, I guess you could say that the Iranians are going with the vibe. There doesn't seem to be a central plan, but they are good enough that they have regional generals that are sending these attacks, sometimes late. It doesn't seem as decisive as U.S. military actions, But it is, yeah, as you say, it's very vibe based. There are some drones that pop out a week later. There are threats made by Iranian politicians and thinkers, and they say, we will block the Strait of Hormuz, and then days later it does happen. Very vibe-based indeed. Sean B. says, Papa, what do you think about the claimed 30,000 Iranian protesters killed by Iran government? I think this is an exaggerated claim. I do remember those events. There were protesters, and there were jeeps that were overwhelmed, and they eventually shot in the crowd. I don't have any evidence that there has been 30,000 Iranian protesters killed. Now, okay, there may have been some killed. I don't know the exact number. And to me, the problem is those protests were obvious foreign intervention psyops. And it's like at some point I have to ask myself, is it legitimate for a regime to be keeping foreign influence out? And I don't mean to be shooting its people here, but I mean, is there a limit to liberty? We've asked this question on one of the most classical live stream on the internet, this Warsky live show where there was Sargon of Akkad, Richard Spencer. And the question is real, like, to what extent are the people outside of your country permitted and allowed to push internal propaganda meant at destabilization of your country, even in a libertarian framework? And it's a deep question. I tend to believe that the libertarian contract, even in a libertarian world, in my ideal world of liberty, the libertarian contract exists between the members of the society. They do not owe obligations to others. And so even something like the First Amendment, I don't think the First Amendment binds the American government in principle. In fact, it does. But in principle, I don't think that I have a First Amendment right in the U.S., I have my Canadian freedom of thought and belief, but I don't think I have a First Amendment right. Because imagine if I do, and imagine if everyone on the planet does. Now what? You're gonna let some toxic cultural influences that enter the US only to destabilize the US? Would you let that happen? That doesn't make sense to me. There is a recognition, even in libertarianism, that there is an outside world. And the outside world is hostile to even the stability of even if you were in an ideal society. And so when I see Iran going strong against these protests, I'm not particularly alarmed. Of course, the shooting is deplorable, but I know that the shooting happened because the crowds overwhelmed these people with guns. And it's like, well, was it really an order of the Iranian regime to kill its people? I don't see it that way. The way I see it is those are the equivalent of our policemen or army men. And they were overcrowded by a mob and they self-defended. So that's more the way I see it. I know that the media told you a totally different story, but I haven't seen yet evidence indicating that my view is necessarily wrong. It's more like it's a hypothetical view because I don't know, but they don't know either. But I'd love to see facts, you know, convince me. Go ahead, convince me that this was an operation to just kill random people by the Iranian government. This sounds too convenient. Too convenient at a time where this war propaganda is much needed. LDR says Trump is incompetent. He keeps projecting his strategic weaknesses. He says, don't do X or I'll be really mad. Then, of course, Iran just goes and does X. And why wouldn't they? Yeah. Sometimes the this aggressiveness of Trump verbally is useful. I don't think it's useful with Iran. DNA parental testing. Someone in the crowd sends a super chat. He says, DNA parental testing for fathers in France is illegal, giving women true control of the rights of reproduction. $15,000 fine and up to a year in prison. Regarding white people food, we had spinach and eggs, or trash, which was eggs, onions, lunch meat, chorizo, etc. Okay, well, thank you for the note on food. Now, as far as fathers in France, well, you know, DNA tests aren't the answer. In the end, most men know exactly that they are the father. DNA tests may be useful sometimes when there's a doubt, but the situation is much graver. It's that fathers are denied rights everywhere. It's not even about the right to DNA test. It's about once you have established that you're a father, whether through DNA test or anything else, why don't you have rights? Why don't you have rights that are equal to women? That is an absolute contradiction of our society. Doubting Thomas sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, JF, the reason reform of the Iranian government is so challenging can be blamed on US/Western immigration policy. We have selected/weeded out those most resistant to their regime for decades. Absolutely, I would agree. I would agree. We starting with all interventions from, what was it, the 60s. We have been absolutely mistreating Iranian society. And we have been radicalizing it. We have been justifying the radicalization. And yeah, it's understandable. It would actually be sad if the violations of international law across the decades of the US and Israel and Iran, it would actually be sad if they worked. It would be sad if they had succeeded at installing any of their alternative PSYOP generated regime for puppetry, for control. It would mean that Iran has been enslaved. Sean B says, I think Iran has been going through extreme hyperinflation and the country was falling apart due to this, and hyperinflation seems to cause social chaos historically. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. John Drake says, judges in the US have forced men to pay for children that they thought were theirs but weren't. Women lied about who daddy is, and the judges go along with it. Yeah, I know this is a thing. We need to completely redo these family courts and impose default 50-50 custody, and even maybe punish the woman when they break the marriage. Punish them because they turn a situation where both parents can contribute to the life of the child into a zero-sum game. This should come with an automatic punishment. You destroy a family, you can never hope to get more than 40% time with the child. Never. And in fact, we give control of the decisions of the life of the child to the person who didn't break the family, the person who didn't solicit the divorce. John Drake says, this one I read. Plapides says, in Poland, men plus wife use IVF, get four viable embryos, use one to make a baby. After the divorce, the woman intends to use an embryo to have a second baby. Father doesn't want. Court rules, father must pay support. Oh yeah, I mean, support must be completely abolished. There should be no such thing. You want support? You stay as a wife with me. If you go on your own, not only are you on your own financially, but the children stay mainly with the men. FBI warns Iran is prepping drone strike on California. They're going to send drones across the Pacific. I don't even know that drones have that range. Maybe long-range drones do. Very bigger drones, okay. They're going to be detected by the U.S. I don't think that's realistic. I think it's war propaganda. Again, it's the seeding of fear. Like, for all this talk about terrorism, you seem to be very interested at the population feeling attacked. You seem to be interested at terrorizing your own people. I am Jacob says, laughing my ass off. Next, they will pay for the donation, and then the donor pay child support. Yeah, I mean, there are some things like this in the U.S. where you get automatic. If you are married in certain states, they consider you the father of any child, even a child acquired through cheating. That's absolute insanity. Lindsey Graham, I was just informed that the Spanish government has permanently recalled their ambassador to Israel. This is hard for me to absorb. Oh no. The Spanish government has insulted Israel, and Lindsey Graham is not feeling good. Now, they could have done this to the U.S., no problem, but doing it to Israel is particularly nefarious. Spain is a member of NATO, and the United States and Israel are in joint operations against the Iranian. But you went on this joint operation on your own. There is no country in the world that are supporting you. It's a United States and Israel thing. You are violating international law, but even called out by your fellow countries within NATO, your military alliance, NATO. We are in joint operation against the Iranian regime, and the religious Nazi regime in Iran is the problem, not the Jewish state. I hope Spain's actions will not encourage the tyrannical, fanatical regime in Iran that abuses its own people. We've never intervened in a country because they were abusing their own people. Never. We only intervene in countries in which we have controlling interest on resources or political control of any kind. There's plenty of evil committed on this planet. We never intervene to stop it, except if we have an Israeli demand or an Israeli fear or a resource concern. Ty Rogerson says, Iran has not proffered piles of shoes and thus the war continues. I don't know what that means. Is that a reference to World War II? Maybe an attempt at a joke? I don't know. ELDR says, zero political candidates addressing the family court issue. That is so sad, because we have an entire generation of children being deprived of fathers because our systems have been turned into a female imperialist system. And the female feminist vote is too dominating for any politician to even dare endorse the opposite. It's going to require some sort of political revolution and a massive change in attitude around this question. And I believe that interstate pressure and competition is the only path to make some pressure. You get your children taken in a liberal state, leave the state. Bring your money, sell your house, go live in another state. That's what I've been doing. I'm not going to stay in a state where I can't have my rights honored equally to my exes. I'm not going to stay in a state that has declared the absolute authority of the matriarchy. So I was very clear every time it happened to me, where these judges take your children and give it to, they give them to your ex. You can either give me fairness or I'm leaving this state. And it's as simple as this. I want to build a real family. I'm not going to build it in a place where my rights have been denied based on false allegations and loose concerns. If we all do this, I think there is some point at which the liberal states will pay for their sins, and they will find themselves isolated with populations of old females, and there will be a loss of interest because everyone will know you don't go there or you get your children taken. ELDR says, in addition, the false claims against men generally prevent them from entering into politics in any public capacity. Oh, exactly. It's a whole system. The whole press combined with women, combined with divorce files. It's like, okay, you wrote something on a piece of paper. Now, do you have a mechanism to prove to me that it's true? No. No, but the judge says. And yeah, they do this for completely ruining your reputation. And somehow it works. Like, to me, it's fascinating how people are buying this, how stupid people are. It's like, do you realize how easy you're making it for the people manipulating society? All they have to do is find one crazy female who's willing to say something, and you won't ever vote for that guy as a politician? Okay, well, you get the politicians you deserve then. You get the politicians you deserve. There needs to be a standard on what is accepted publicly as evidence, and the U.S. is the lowest of the low because it has allowed effectively defamation of everyone who's considered a public personality. So effectively in the U.S., they have legalized all lies, which tells me that there's a force behind the First Amendment, a force of people who intended to use it to keep the people from hearing certain voices. And as soon as you do something like me, take a free route of ideological thought, philosophical public engagement, you'll see them coming. They will throw at you all these lies. And this is all protected under the First Amendment. What a sad use of a beautiful liberty. Brett Weinstein. Oops. Brett Weinstein has just realized, oh, I was voting for Trump because I thought he would not do the Iran war. But now he's done it. I'm sorry. Oops. I was mistaken. I was mistaken that voting for Trump would prevent this war. Obviously, and to be clear, I did more than just vote for him. That said, I don't accept that the alternative was tolerable or would have prevented a war, and given the same choice, I would vote the same way again. You can absolutely measure the quality of an intellectual by how late they are on these things, and Brett is like 8 years late on almost everything. He started talking about the woman problem like weeks ago. And he was totally anti-Trump on the first campaign, where the first Trump presidency was a decent campaign, certainly. You could argue a relatively bad presidency, but definitely an acceptable campaign that was going in the right direction for America. But then Brett was anti-Trump. Brett started being pro-Trump when Trump started giving signs that he was going to be enslaved to Israeli interests. And I would love to know exactly what are the circumstances under which a Brett ends up siding with Trump like this, midway, after being an opponent of him. I would like to know the private discussions. I would like to know the influence of his brother. Because his brother has been very clear in defending on Twitter spaces, defending attacks against Iran regularly and in a repeated news cycle, saying, oh, it's my people being attacked. We have to reply. We have to fight back. So it's very convenient the way Brett, misjudged Trump exactly at the moment where every competent commentators like me, Nick Fuentes, we could exactly see years ahead where Trump was headed. And we warned everyone. But now you have these people who have been fooled and yet they get big audiences. They get people are still following these people who have been demonstrated wrong. And it's like, you're consuming propaganda. You're consuming propaganda that is attached to a set of interests that goes against yours. This is what's happening. And I don't think there will be a reckoning. I don't think there will be a realization by Brett that, look, the way you approach the world is not truth-directed. You have been maybe socially influenced, maybe your way of having private conversations with everyone. Maybe that's what it is. You got pushed in the exact direction of defending Israeli interests, and you claim that you didn't know. Can we believe Brett on the idea that he just didn't know? He just didn't know that Trump was going to do exactly what Israel wanted with Iran. Well, if you couldn't know, at least listen to people like me. We could have told you. Listen to people like Nick Fuentes. We've been yelling it on the mic for a year before the campaign of Trump. This is what will happen. Tiago says, JF, how do you avoid becoming a misanthrope after seeing people being massively stupid over and over again? Oh, I don't do any such avoidance. I am a misanthrope. I do not interact with regular people. I have a couple of friends, family friends. But no, I am mostly a misanthrope. I am truly in awe of the stupidity of the humans on this planet. Cenk Uygur admits... Oh, he's talking here. I don't know if it's an old video. He's talking about the Palestinians.
Conveniently leaving out that they started the war. I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who start a war and then cry to me about it after.
I think he was talking then about Gaza. I think it's an old commentary. I don't know why people are trying to bring it back on social media. But yeah, not a very good argument, the idea that the Gazans started the war, because the problem is, it's not because even if 1,000 Gazans started the war, it's not a reason to bomb the rest of their civilization. It's not a reason to bomb innocent bystanders, which is what Israel has done. Clearly to destroy completely Gaza. Clearly to eventually reconquer the place or keep it empty, but make it unviable. That is ethnic cleansing, what has been happening in Gaza. President Trump has appointed Erica Kirk to the U.S. Air Force leadership. Erica Kirk will help advise the Air Force on issues affecting the academy. What the fuck is... What is up with this widow? It's so bizarre. So bizarre, Erica Kirk. She's always there. She was there in Ukraine. In human trafficking affairs and all. She's there at the head of the Air Force now. Why is she always there? She seems like a very powerful woman. Ted Cruz gets booed off stage. He was in front of a Christian crowd. So one person, I believe, in the crowd started heckling Ted and started saying, there's a problem with what Israel is doing and with the fact that we are standing by them.
I will say this, I am saddened to see that some here, not everyone, but some here,
most of us,
are so consumed with hate.
Oh, what a crowd pleaser. Ted Cruz is talking to a dinner of, I don't know what that is, Christian millionaires or whatever that is. And it's like, some of you are so consumed with hate. That is not a good crowd tactic, to be accusing your crowd of supporters that they are hateful because they brought a concern to you about Israel.
You cannot address your brother. I will say this.
You speak for yourself.
If you will not stand with Israel and the Jews,
no,
then I will not stand with you.
Wow. Wow. Whatever has led to the organization of this dinner, I have no idea. But he's telling the entire dinner, no, you guys, if you guys aren't going to stand with Israel, I'm out of here. And he leaves. He just leaves.
Thank you, and God bless you.
I mean, gala solidarity dinner in defense of Christians. Wow. Ted Cruz is like, no, you've just, that's a deal breaker. You can be all sorts of things, but you cannot believe that Israel is committing unjust actions in the world. I have to leave if you say that. I mean, you can see what truly owns these politicians. There is only one set of interests that they will do this for. It's like you could have any dinner. You could have, you know, an Islam dinner with influential people from the Muslim community. They would be right there. But you cannot say anything about Israel. Let's go see the Hindus. Let's go see the Christians. Let's go see the atheists. But if you're against what Israel is currently doing, that's a check that I'm losing if I stay here. So sorry, I have to go. Sean B says he's getting his check one way or another. Well, I don't know how this dinner worked. Was it a dinner to raise funds? Was it an invitation? I don't know. Oil prices jump and stocks dump as two oil tankers explode in the Persian Gulf. Hezbollah hits Israel with largest missile attack of war. They say that there are increasing waves of large missile attacks launched into northern Israel by Hezbollah. President of Iran demands reparations and guarantees against future aggression. Trump says the war in Iran will end soon as there is practically nothing left to target. Yet U.S. and Israeli officials plan at least two more weeks of strikes. U.S. forces destroyed 16 Iranian mine-laying vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran drone production has been significantly degraded. The IEA is preparing its largest ever emergency crude oil release to counter surging Brent and WTI prices. Casualties estimate over 1,200 killed in Iran from the U.S.-Israeli strikes, 13 deaths in Israel from Iranian retaliation, and 140 U.S. service members wounded. mostly minor wounds. So that is the current state of the war. I don't know where it will go. Israel may have a capacity for injuring endurance over small harassment of boats, small bombardments of Israel, and perhaps random bombardments here and there of U.S. bases. But in the long term, I don't believe that they can create massive damage. They can only sustain continued disruption. So there, that will be the question. To what extent will they continue on this? In the past, what Iran has been doing is minimal destruction to maintain face. And then they stop at some point and they say, all right, we have replied. We'll see where it goes there. Trump is probably doing all of sorts of activities to precisely like destroying the mine boats. So that's one thing that the Iranians tried to do, putting mines so that the strait becomes unpassable. So Trump is probably paying a lot of attention and the U.S. Army is probably shooting these ships down. It's not easy to install functional mines if you're being watched. So I think what Iran will mostly have are suicide drones that they will send, or bombing drones that pass over ships. But even those eventually will be subject to a lot of American intervention and a lot of capacity to destroy them before they can cause damage. So that's where it's at. It does seem that Trump wants to at least display the image that it's going to be a short war, but will it be? Depends on the strategy of the Iranians. And if they keep doing stuff that Trump has to intervene upon, then it's going to be continued maintenance. Sean B. says, where do Iranians come from? Are they white, black, or some kind of Mexican? The Iranians are fully Mexican. They are straight descendants of the Mexicans. I mean, if you go there, you'll find easily tacos, cilantro, guacamole, absolutely Mexican. No, I'm just kidding. The Iranians are, well, they are first and foremost a mixed people with a Persian history. So they are the Persian, basically. They are the Persian. And the Persian, I guess, they have a very old civilization. Now, it is my view that, and I don't know for sure, if you were to do genetic tests today, I believe there would be massive evidence of mixing waves of basically Islamic invasion. From the history of this empire eventually mixing in and eventually be converted toward Islam, I believe this must have involved a lot of mixing. And I think I have seen something like there are a large percentage of non-Persian genes in modern Iran. But I would have to study in depth to know more about it. I don't think they are all from the original Persians. I think they have taken in a lot of invasion waves as Islam spread across the world. And I'm not talking like 30 years ago. I'm talking over the last 1,000 years. And GM for the People says, Iran means land of the Aryans. Yeah, that is... that is the meaning. That being said, the word Aryan is very unclear. It's been endorsed in different contexts. I sometimes used it as a joke, but it's fascinating because I think just like Caucasian, Caucasian is very unclear because all of these words, they seek to kind of regroup the white people of Europe up to and including sometimes India. Saying, okay, well, there's the Caucasus, and the Caucasus is this place, and gives the impression that Caucasian people are born in the Caucasus. Which I don't think it's a proper representation of the origin story of white people. I do believe that white people have developed, the white people I think about when I say white people, I do believe it is the people that has been endemic to Europe. And it's the people I'm part of. It's Western Europe, Northern Europe, and then there are other people who have developed white skin, but I believe they are a distinct genetic nucleus that should be treated distinctly, and its difference should be noted. We don't have to have an enlarged conception or grouping of that sort. We can acknowledge that there is massive variation as you start from the UK, and you go down, 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 and east, and you pass through the Mediterranean, you pass through Israel, the Middle East. On your side, you have North Africa. On your other side, you have Eastern Europe. And then you have, eventually, the Caucasus and India. This line right there is not a group. There's a continuum there, and there's no reason to have a term such as Caucasian or Aryan general. I don't see the reason. Crowned Christian says Iran, Assyria probably still has things from the first temple. Perhaps it's why this is happening. They're wanting everything for their third temple, which they've tried to build many times before. Oh yeah, there's this whole. There are these old discussions about whether the current Israel concern with Iran and actions in Iran are tied to some religious beliefs. I don't often analyze through this lens because ultimately, I don't care all that much. Ultimately, if you are committing bad actions, then that's what matters to me now. We can get into the mechanism inside Israel society. Maybe it's this whole prophetic millennialist vision of a desire to dominate, to establish a greater Israel, then to build the third temple, which I don't even know for sure what it means for them and why they would want that. But I guess it means I get that. In general, it means domination, and it means a kind of crowning of a new overarching empire of the world. I guess that's how they see it. Sean B. says they want five temples in the form and shape of an upside-down star. Okay, bro, whatever. I don't take issue with your building of temples. Just build your temples. Don't attack people. Just build your temples and try to attract tourism and do fun stuff in the temple. Don't kill other people. Don't violate other people's sovereignty. The Trump Xi summit preview. What's at stake? Our last news item for tonight. President Donald Trump is scheduled to visit China from March 31st to April 2nd for a summit with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. What was already shaping up to be a high-stakes meeting on tariffs, trade rules, tech controls, and Taiwan has become more complicated. Before Trump even boards the planes, two developments have altered the landscape. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down a major part of his emergency tariff program. So we have seen Chinese companies being very annoyed by these tariffs. They were struck down. And then, of course, the U.S.-Israeli military operation against Iran. it's amazing how China is tamed into this whole thing, because I can't believe it personally, as I consider China to be potentially a superpower. I thought that China had big military capacities that they kind of keep secret, that they kind of don't fully show. But when I see them make these drone shows with dragons, I'm like, holy shit, what if each of these drones was carrying a bomb or a little grenade even? Can you imagine 60,000 drones just coming like a dragon? All coming at the same time out of the boat. It's like, how are you going to protect against 60,000 drones? But, you know, weirdly, we have been basically destroying the backyard oil reserve of China. And China has just been speaking and saying, oh, that's bad. Not good. Doesn't bring good luck. Doesn't bring good luck. You know, these Chinese little tips in their cookies. It's like, do not strike Iran today. This will bring bad luck. That's all we got from China. And they're even still going to meet with Trump. I would be pissed off if I had my own local Chinese empire and I'm the president of it and I rule over it. And one of the important components of this empire is Iran. Now, another important component of this empire is my capacity to manufacture, to sell in the US without unjust interference by the American government. Now, I see within one presidency, I see Trump clearly trying to mess with my manufacturing capacity and then bombarding my oil. If I'm the leader of China, I'm like, okay, this is a war. This is a competing empire setting up to mess up with me. Now, personally, I'm not even gonna say what I would do, but. If I was leading an empire, things would go different. I may die. I may be very hated as a leader of China. I may be very hated across the world, but I would certainly rule with an iron fist. I would not accept people messing with my routes. My routes are my routes. This is my route. This is my route for oil. DK Shadow says, China is doing things on the down low. Maybe they are. Who knows? Maybe they're providing insight and intel. But it's like, you can't really... Proxy wars are very inefficient. Even, you know, you look at how the interaction between the US military and Ukraine. We weren't able to really make something useful with the Ukrainians. And supposedly they are our proxy and they are the proxy of Western Europe. We haven't had them do anything amazing. We've given them technology and all, but all of this to maybe make the war a little more costly for Russia. But we weren't able to, you cannot get someone else to do something competently, especially not if they're a whole range of IQ below you, you know, a whole standard deviation of IQ below you. So it's like the Chinese trying to help Iran in some form, that won't work unless the Chinese do it themselves. The idea that you're going to help Iran with strikes or give them intel, that there will be a misefficiency here. And if I was a China man from the army and they say, JF, your responsibility is to go teach the Iranians how to handle the Strait of Hormuz situation, I would be like, This is all so tiresome.